Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Let's continue again today what we have been discussing on the subject of God's procedure for promotion. In previous episodes on this same matter, we have established the fact that God's ways are different from man's ways. That is, they might be going for the same goal, they think, but God said there is a way by which you will get there. And since I created the earth, I know the right thing. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And that if you follow the ways of men, Jesus said, you are likely to end up in destruction, because broad is the way, he said, that leads to destruction. But there is a narrow way, which is the way of God, and that is what leads to life. It's important we understand that, and we have already explained a lot about that. We have established the fact that the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and that Word was God, and then the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. We established a divine principle by examining those expressions, that before something comes down to the earth, it first exists in the realm of the spirit, and then one day it takes on flesh. And we said that what marks out Christianity in spiritual matter is not the fact that we talk about spiritual things. Many people talk about spiritual things. Ekanka people talk about spiritual things. Grail message, you talk about spiritual things. All kinds of Eastern religions talk about spiritual things. But what marks Christianity out, the following of Jesus Christ, is the fact that we realize that spiritual power only happens through God. That Paul said the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are mighty through God. That using God's power, what God has said is his order, we use that and we pull down strongholds. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Now, so we have established the fact that before something comes down on the earth, it was there in the realm of the spirit as a word or a thought pattern, a logos in the heart of the people. Now, whatever is inside your heart causes generation of spiritual forces around you, which we said has been called by a lot of people as your aura. But we said that your aura actually is a spiritual force generated inside you according to the kind of concepts, the beliefs, the thought patterns that you have in your mind. The Bible said that whatever is born of God, in 1 John chapter 5, he said it overcomes the world. That is, anybody can enter into the realm of the spirit to try and generate things. But that if what you are thinking, what you have generated, are the thoughts of God, it will overcome all else. He said, this is the victory that has overcome the world. Even our faith, what is our faith? We recognize that the weapons of our warfare are mighty only through God. I hope you get what I'm trying to say there. That is, if you have God's thoughts, you will succeed in this life. That is a fact. If God speaks things concerning marriage, and you attack marriage with God's thoughts, you will definitely have success in marriage. It is not that you will know everything to do rightly, no, but that there is what the Bible calls the power that works towards those who believe. Do you get my point? That is the kind of disagreements that breaks down marriages will happen in your home. It will end up in greater unity between husband and wife. Let me just use that to explain something, which will even help me to go into what I want to say today. Problems that occur in life are not unique to anybody. What is unique to the man of faith is the thing that comes out of the problem. Do you get my point? Joseph was imprisoned unjustly, but do you think he was alone in jail? Do you think he was the only person in prison that was wrongly accused? Men have been killed wrongly. What marked Joseph out was the fact that God used his imprisonment to take him to a higher place. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is what is called the power that works towards those who believe. It does not mean that they never have problems. It just means that if they have problems, they will come out higher than they were when they stepped into problems. As long as they did not buy it with evil in their hands. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? For every Joseph that gets wrongly accused and thrown into jail, he's about to come out as a prime minister. That is the spiritual principle. Now, I was explaining that the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. There is a power that works towards those who believe. If you have God's thoughts on anything, you go into business thinking God's thoughts. How do I bless my society? How do I bless my workers? I heard a story some time ago about a company in the United States. The man has godly thoughts concerning his workers. So when technological advancement comes, it requires him to lay off workers. And it's done everywhere. They call it downsizing. You know what he does? He commits 20% of their profit to sustain workers which technology wants them to downsize. He said, no, these people have worked with me faithfully. I can never let them down. In his area of enterprise, he's the biggest in that country. That is the Sabbath rest of God. So that you will understand that when you are doing things that appear wasteful in the eyes of men, you are tapping into what the Bible calls treasure in heaven. Do you get the point I'm making here? That is, God has thoughts. He will tell the children of Israel that for 6 years you will cultivate your land. On the seventh year, there must be no cultivation. An average man will wonder, this is not the right thing to do. We should continue working, maximizing profit. God said, no, those are not my thoughts. And you will find out that the man who obeys the thoughts of God must always come out on top. That was what John meant when he said, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. We've been saying this now, it's very important. But let me get back to something I said earlier, which is actually the main thing that I want to discuss today. And that is the issue of when men have problems, what is the cause of their problems? Remember, generally what we are talking about is what? God's procedure for your promotion. What is God's order? Because in life, listen, problems come. I said, what marks you out as a man that is blessed of God is not whether you never have challenges. It's what comes out of your life as a result of those challenges. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Now, first thing I want you to understand here. Now, let us read from the book of Job, chapter 33. I want to read verse 14. He said, indeed, God speaks once or twice, yet no one notices it. In a dream, a vision of the night, when sound sleeps fall upon men, while they slumber in their sleep, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, that he may turn man aside from his conduct and keep him from pride, keeps back his soul from the pit, and his life from passing over into the grave. Now, what was he saying here? God does not like men having problems. Therefore, he speaks once or twice, yet they don't pay any attention. He uses many methods to bring a man back from his conduct and turn him away from pride. He tries to get men, he opens their ears to instructions so that they will neglect their own thoughts and follow the thoughts of God. Remember, we said something at the beginning of this series. We said, God's call for your progress, God's order for your promotion is that you replace your own thoughts with his thoughts. That's what we've been talking about. God said in Isaiah chapter 55, he said, let the wicked man forsake his ways and the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Then God will forgive him and he will give him, let me use the word, he will reward him with promotion. I'm paraphrasing. That is, God's order is not to try to get money if you are going to be a millionaire. We said that God's order is that there is a thought pattern that makes a man a millionaire. And what's that thought pattern? The thought pattern of a servant. Let him be the most serving one. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Human beings say, if you want to be a millionaire, think like a millionaire. God said, if you want to be a millionaire, think like a servant. I didn't say think like a poor man. He said, think like a servant. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, men oftentimes, in trying to be millionaires, they think like millionaires. And God said, that is not the proper way. That is not the proper order. So he speaks to them like you are listening to me right now. And there are many men who have heard such instructions, yet they don't learn. Then what's the next line? Verse 19. He said, man is also chastened with pain on his bed and with unceasing complaint in his bones. So bad will his problems become that he will hate his own favorite food. I'm paraphrasing verse 20. He said, his flesh wastes away from sight and his bones, which were not seen, stick out. What's happening at this point is that he's beginning to draw near to death because of problems. Now, this may not be a human being, maybe a company. They've been doing things in a particular way. Then suddenly problems set into the company. Problems set into the economy. Problems set into the market. Men, what do they start doing? They start trying to solve problems. Yet God said, turn to me. Let me change your thought pattern. And you will find that your problems will vanish all of a sudden.
If you read verse 23, he said, if there is an angel as mediator for him, one out of a thousand, to remind a man what is right for him to do. If you read the next few verses, he was saying that this mediator, this angel, this messenger, will declare to this man what is the right thing that he's supposed to do. And if the man does the right thing, he will now pray to God. And then God will be gracious to him and say, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found the ransom. What is the ransom? Remember, we read from Isaiah chapter 55. God said, come and buy. To ransom means to pay. And God said, this is the payment. Turn your ears, drop your own ideas, and swallow my own ideas. That is how you buy your way out of problems. You know what people try to do? They think that you can bribe God with money. They will go to church and say, I have been having problems. I'm going to give a big offering so that my problems will turn around. God said, the problem I have with you is your thought pattern. Your problem is not money primarily. Your problem is that you have the wrong attitude towards life. Many years ago, a friend told me a story. Let me use Mary as an example so that you'll understand what I'm trying to say clearly. Now, it was a lady, a friend of mine that told me this story. She was married and was in the car with another married woman, a senior person, a well-to-do woman. And the woman was telling her, men are very dangerous. Let me tell you, don't trust them. And she kept on telling this young lady who married just a few years before, had a little child. That is, she had a young family. And this other woman kept on telling her, listen, don't mind these men. This is the way they are. And she continued talking. And I always tell people, if you see a married woman come out to tell you, don't mind men. What she's saying is, don't mind my husband. She doesn't know men. She knows her husband. If you see a man come out and say, and he's a married man, say, oh, these women are terrible. He's telling you that my wife is a devil incarnate. That's all he's saying. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So this young woman, she was narrating it to me later, that this woman kept on drowning her ears with bad thoughts. Wrong thoughts. Then something happened. The woman forgot something in her house, so they had to turn back to her house. They were being driven by a driver. They were sitting at the back. So this senior woman got down from the car, ran into the house to go and collect something. And the driver seized that moment, turned to the young woman and said, madam, the way you and your husband are going, I think is the right way. Don't mind my madam. She has bought for herself all her problems. And her face is tearing. I happen to know the driver. The guy looks so quiet, like an ant. You won't know he has a voice in his mouth. Are you getting my point? Now, this is a woman who will not depart from church, trying to pray to solve her marital problems. Yet, even her driver knew that her attitude has been her problem. There is a folk tale. The title of that story is that is the patient person that can milk a lion. They told the story about a woman who went to the native doctors. She wanted to solve her problems with her husband. So they told her that what you need really is to make this correct concussion, we need the milk of a lioness. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? How do you get a lioness that's suckling the cubs to give you milk? Now, let me call the story short because we don't have all the time. This woman prepared a sweet mixture, went to where she found a lioness that had cubs, and gently passed the thing up there, and while the lioness was licking this sweet salt mixture, and the cubs were beside sucking, she gently stretched her hand and milked the lioness a bit and sneaked away. That is, she used all the gentility in her soul to milk that lioness and went back to the native doctor and said, here it is. The native doctor said, how did you do this? He said, I had to be very gentle. And the native doctor said, go home and do likewise. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, it is the thoughts in a man's heart, a woman's heart, that decides the actions, and a lot of the problems he has in life are products of those actions. I have been in places where there is gross indiscipline. Financial management, zero. Yet, anointing oil does not depart from the premises. Anointing for promotion. Ask the man, how much money did we make last week? He does not know. He has no books kept. Yet, he will drown the environment with anointing oil. Indiscipline, insincerity, lack of accountability, was his problem. But he wanted to anoint away his responsibility, and it didn't work. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is why you need somebody to tell you the truth. One of the things that's very common these days in Christianity is that people think they can give God enough offerings to solve their problems. It doesn't work. God is not a beggar. He does not need your money to deliver you from troubles. He said, let the wicked man forsake his ways and the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Are you getting the point I'm making here? Now, Eli was explaining to Job that if a man does this, verse 25 of Job 33, he said his flesh will become fresher than in youth and he will return to the days of his youthful vigor. There are businesses that are collapsing. Do you know why they are collapsing? They are treating their employees wrongly. Great man of God, Ed Cole, told a story once about a friend of his who had a great company. In his case, he treated his staff very well. And everything was going on in the company very well until one particular point, things suddenly turned around. The man hired the best analyst. They couldn't find what was wrong with his business. Then he talked to Ed Cole. And Ed Cole talked to his staff. And finally, he noticed something. That the people there, they just noticed that there was this thing in their spirits, their attitudes. They didn't trust the company. Why? He slipped out. A married man, was having an affair with one of the girls in the office. Now, listen. He didn't know how it happened, but the adulterous spirit spread all over the company and started killing it. I said something a few episodes ago. I said sin is deadly. Sin is not a moral issue. It's a tangible matter. Adultery kills men. Listen, I have seen men they dug out of hotel rooms because they carried young girls to the hotels. And I have conducted autopsies on more than one. It is not magnum, it's not jazz. It is a spirit of adultery that killed a man. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That this, look, God said, when that company began to have problems, this is what I'm trying to tell you. What he was trying to tell the man, in effect, was that you have dealt treacherously with the wife of thy youth. I will no longer accept sacrifices from your hand. That's what God was saying. You know why men have problems? Because God wants to tell them that the way you are doing things is wrong. Your attitude towards life is wrong. That's why you have problems. I worked for a man once, and I explained to him that, sir, we are owing too many people. He said, people are also owing us. He didn't give a damn. I said, listen, if you want the people owing you to pay, you to go and pay first. You have to sow the first seeds. I hope you are following the point I'm trying to make. That is why men have problems, is that they have a wrong attitude. God said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are not your ways at all. But if you want to succeed, you have to learn my thoughts. That's why we're reading from Isaiah chapter 55 just now. God said, listen carefully to me, and that way you will eat what is good. That's in verse 2. It said, incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. That is, let me change your thought pattern by my words. You want progress next year, you have to change the way you do things. You want success in your life and ministry and your business, you have to have the right thought patterns. You cannot keep thinking like everybody else and expect to get a different result. You will fail like everybody. Why do men have problems? God wants to stir them up to a higher level of righteousness. You know, I told you something. That was last week. I said that in each generation, there are standards of righteousness. And God, I found out, progressively raises that standard. If it might interest you, that was what God was doing with Job. He wanted to bring him up in his standard of righteousness. Are you getting my point? Of all the men on the earth, he was the best. Right. But God said, there's another level. I hope you are following what I'm trying to say. When men have problems, God is trying to raise the standard of their righteousness. That's all he's trying to do. Listen to me. Those of you who have struggled in business this year, and you are having projections for next year, they may tell you, call next year my year of divine breakthrough. You know, we have all kinds of names. Go around town, you see all kinds of stickers. 2005, we called it all kinds of things. And 2006 is coming, we will also call it names. My year of unparalleled and unprecedented supernatural increase. Listen, call it what you like. If you don't have the right attitude, if you don't change your thought pattern and your way of doing things to agree with God, it will become a year of unparalleled and unprecedented failure. Buy all the stickers you like from all the big churches in Nigeria and stick them all over your car, your house, your office. It changes nothing. Behold, God is not mocked. Whatever a man has as a word, a seed in his heart, that shall also become flesh in his life. What I'm saying, is it getting across to you? Why do men have problems? Elihu told Job, this is the issue. God is saying, turn away from your way of doing things and come up the right way. Turn away from the worldly way. Now, there was something else Elihu told Job, which is one thing I want to say quickly before we end, about the matter of prayer. See, talking about this issue of why men have problems. He said in Job 34, verse 31, he said, has anyone said to God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend anymore? Teach me what I do not see, and if I have done iniquity, I will not do it again. Now, this is, last week, I gave us an important prayer that's from Psalm 19, and we ended in verse 14. Today, I want to leave this as a prayer for everybody. Job 34, verses 31 and 32. He said, for has anyone said to God, I have borne chastisement, I have suffered this year, I have had all kinds of problems, but I will not offend anymore. He said, that which I do not see, teach me, if I have done iniquity, that is, when you have shown to me that I have done iniquity by the things I have been doing, I will do it no more. Isaiah said, if you do this, then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. You know what that means? Even when people are assailing you from the back, God is protecting you. I think it's good. Let me add this one before I go. A lot of people, when they have problems, they go out and start praying about their enemies. God said, your problem is not your enemies. Your problem is you. Like I always say, the witch in your life is you. Are you getting what I'm going to say? The witch in your life is you. No matter the number of altars that are raised up against you, if God is pleased with you, they are absolutely of no effect. Are you getting what I'm going to say? The man who is pleasing to God, God stands as his rear guard. That is, the man is going. He's not seeing his back. God is watching his back. People are so preoccupied about their enemies. Let me give you an assignment for next year. Neglect your enemies. They are not your problem. Your problem is to be pleasing to God in all that you do. If you do that, you will most certainly succeed this coming year. Get me very clearly. The reason why people have problems is because they have a problem with God. If God allows problem into your life, the first thing he's telling you is that your thought pattern is wrong. You know, I remember something. This is my own analysis of Nigeria's situation. In the beginning of the days of structural adjustment, listen to me, prosperity is good. I believe so strongly in it. But one thing God hates is idleness. Nigeria was a prosperous nation. All you needed to do was work for a few hours a day. You got a good salary. On that salary, you built a nice house over a few years. You know, you have a nice car, and you have a secure job, and you have a pension. At the age of 65, you retire, you know, and then you live the rest of your days doing nothing else. And we felt it was a good life. And we refer to those days as very, very good days. But listen to me, spiritually speaking, they are not good things. The men were too idle. They were not productive. So God allowed structural adjustment. Listen, Nigerians became very hardworking. I lived in a place where there was a lot of land. The average civil servant started farming in his spare time. People started doing business. Then teachers would close from school and go and do extramural lessons. They used their time more productively. It was as if God used structural adjustment to awaken the giants within them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The men found that it was possible to make money apart from the one that government is paying you. God said, now you are being productive. And let me just tell you this. You see Nigerians who run away that Nigeria is bad. They go to America and work three times as hard as they were working here. No dollar is given to them free. Let me say to you that want to die because of a visa. If you work as hard in Nigeria as you plan to work, or you will be compelled to work when you get to those places, you will also prosper here. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Okay, now. So I'm explaining that problems came. Men discovered the ability to be productive. It was not... Look, God allows problems sometimes to wake a man up to reality. That you can do better than you are doing that. A lot of us, I believe me included, if I did not have to eat and take care of a family and pay children's school fees, maybe I would not feel like I should be working. You understand what I'm trying to say? So God, look, the one thing I should let you know in life is this. God, no matter, even if you feel you are called to ministry, if you're not actively working, now, I don't mean you must take a secular job, but I mean that if it is preaching, then be preaching every time. If you are not doing that, God will ensure you go hungry. That way, you will wake up and realize that, no, hunger is God's instrument for teaching men productivity. Do you know why men go to America and go to UK and work very hard? Because there's no paddy in the jungle there. You know, in Nigeria, you have your father. You can run home. You can stop in your friend's house and eat his food free of charge. But there, man, things are so regimented and regulated that, you know, here, if you don't eat, if you don't work, nobody will give anything to you. Your case will be like that of the prodigal son. Listen to me. What do you think happened to the prodigal son? God used the problems of the prodigal son to wake him up to reality. That running away from your father's house was your problem. Are you getting my point? Forget your enemies. They are not your problem. Forget them. The real problem you have in life is inside you. God said, as you are making your plans for next year, the easy way to identify your problems, now let me say, the easy way to identify where you have the wrong thought patterns is watch where your problem is coming from. If your problem is with your boss, you probably have a wrong thought patterns about your work. If your problem is coming from the people who work under you, check it. Your attitude towards them is probably wrong. Go to the word of God and pray a simple prayer. God, teach me what I do not see. Are you getting my point? If your problem is that of getting a job, no, think. Just say, God, why is it? Stop blaming the devil. Stop blaming your enemies. I heard a story some time ago that a man saw the devil sitting there in front of a church crying. He said, why are you crying? He said, the lie is too much. He said, which lie? He said, everything that goes wrong in the lives of these people, even when I don't know about it, they blame me. It is the devil. Even the devil was crying that we have lied too much on his head. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Wherever your problem is coming from, God said, peradventure, that is an area where I want your thought pattern changed. That this year, you've had problems. This season, before the 1st of January 2006, my assignment is to settle down and say, like we said, that prayer in Job 34, verses 31 and 32. That which I do not see, he said, Lord, teach me. Do you get my point? Job said, when men cry because of the arm of the wicked, God does not listen to such cry until they say, where is God my maker? Elihu told Job, he said, because of the multitude of oppressions they cry out. Job 35 from verse 9. They cry for help because of the arm of the mighty. He said, but no one says, where is God my maker? Who gives songs in the night? Who teaches us more than the beasts of the field? He said, they cry out, but he does not answer. Because this is a matter of pride in the heart of evil people. He said, surely God will not listen to an empty cry, nor will the Almighty regard it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say there? Remember, our prayer again is simple. For as anyone said to God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend anymore. Teach me what I do not see. If I have done iniquity, I will not do it again. Remember, your enemy is not your problem.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to www.kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or PO Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.